you take the Bible as we know it and open it mostly, or essentially in the middle, what you find is the hymn book of the ancient Jerusalem temple community, the Psalms. And Psalm 121 is the closing hymn. So I thought I would start these thoughts today with the ancient words of blessing, dismissal, and a prayer for God's guidance, trust, safety. I lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. And to this point, this is a reminder that God is ever present, ever steadfast. He created it in the beginning and will tend to it throughout its life. And then these last words. The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord will watch over, not necessarily direct or redirect or prevent or cause, but watch over. Very, very powerful image. To watch over, you know, in some sense, I suppose it's like surveillance, you know. He sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, you know. And there is an element of truth to that, but I think of it more kind of like you're playing on the floor with your stuff and dad's in the room reading the paper, you know. Not necessarily spying on you or, you know, waiting to see if you'll mess up. Just simply there. And there's a kind of spiritual reality to the presence of God. I mean, when Jesus left, he said, I will leave you the Holy Spirit. And, you know, in all the different manifestations of spirit, you know, poetry, hymns, love, forgiveness, you know, the conscience actually is in play here. I mean, this sort of never failing watching over, you know, instills in us, when it comes time to make decisions maybe, we pretty much know what the right thing to do is. I mean, maybe there's more than one way to be right, but we kind of get it, even though it might work against our interests, this presence of kind of the dad in the room for the metaphor. The Lord will watch over your going out. And to the extent that we feel a conscience, that's part of it. And a lot of that kind of reflection has gone into the decision to simply move our ministry. That there's been some reflection and some guidance and a spirit that makes this the right thing to do right now. Because the Lord is watching over. Of course, if we want to think about it brutally, honestly, if the Lord has been watching over everything we've ever done, there's at least a few things I can think of I'd rather he was blinking at the time. You know what I mean? You know? And yet, you know, his eyes are wide open. There is a steadfastness to his watching over. Now, I am certain in the 50-plus years ministry has been happening in this place that hasn't all been, you know, beer and Skittles. There have been difficulties, certainly personal troubles, relationship issues, squabbles in and amongst the leadership, maybe. And yet there's this steadfast presence of God. Good choices, bad choices. Choices that work out, choices that don't. The overriding principle here is we are instruments of God's peace because of our calling. We were named at baptism, and God's steadfast watching over keeps our identity intact. He knows us by name, and it is our identity that sees us through both the decision-making process and living with the consequences of decisions that don't work out very well. not too terribly long ago, John Kennedy's golf clubs were sold at auction, and they got $60,000 or $70,000. And they were just garden variety McGregor golf clubs. But the issue was not what they were, but to whom they belonged. And it was to whom they belonged that gave them value. Well, if John Kennedy's golf clubs are worth $70,000 on the auction market because they belonged to him, and they weren't the only set of McGregors, can you imagine how valuable a one-of-a-kind that belonged to God is? That's you. That's me. Well, how do we care for that in our work, our life, our ministry? One of my favorite authors said this. He said, if you want to know who you are, as opposed to who you think you are, watch where your feet take you. Keep an eye on your feet, as in, how beautiful are the feet of the one who bringeth good tidings. You ever had this conversation with yourself? How did I get here? I did not intend to spend my day here. Didn't even think I'd be here when I woke up. And maybe most importantly, this is not me. And then maybe you remember that you are a one of a kind and you belong to God. And God's steadfast watching over you moves your feet out of there and back where they belong. The Lord watches over your going out and your coming in. This psalm actually foretells the last words Jesus said to his disciples, reported in Matthew's gospel. Go therefore and make disciples. You are disciples. Baptizing them, because you're baptized, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the completeness of God. And lo, I am with you always. I'm with you always to the close of the age. We believe that the church, and by that I mean the saints, the witnesses, the people, wherever they are and whatever they're doing, are part of the body of Christ. And we will continue to reach those who need our touch, who need our food, because we are called to be not a building but a body, the hands and feet, literally, of those who Jesus needs to walk toward and to touch. We are a community, and we are empowered as a family by the certainty that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and the Lord watches over us in community. We have conscience, we have community, we have identity, and that leaves us evermore with a ministry. So at the end of the time this ministry is located in this building, I would invite you to do two things. I would invite you to leave something, and I would invite you to take something. I'm going to leave this bar stool. I don't know if anybody wants it. Just was my style of proclaiming the word. And I was bringing a bar stool back and forth from the two churches for a couple of weeks. And then your mom bought me this bar stool. This Janie bought me this bar stool. And I'm just going to leave it. I don't know what anybody's going to do with it. It doesn't matter to me. Maybe somebody will find some use for it. But my point is, it's part of the myriad of tools for ministry that are being left to Family Harvest to carry on the ministry of all who have ever been through this building and through these walls and carried their ministry beyond here. So leave something, you know, something tangible, just maybe part of your spirit, because that's what I'm going to take with me. I'm going to take with me a spiritual memory. I can see Edna's spot, sort of behind the post over there. We didn't always agree. Well, we most always didn't. A lot of everything, except that God was a bridge between us, and I think that's true for all of us, you know. There are lots of things that we've done, left undone, couldn't prevent, that have caused people pain. And we believe things that maybe others think are crazy and vice versa. But there's this transcendent, you know, oh, there he goes again. And you know what? We're still friends. And I will take that memory with me forever, really. And it leaves me almost singing in my head the last chorus of Andrew Lloyd Webber's signature song from the musical Cats called Memory. Daylight. I must wait for the sunrise. I must think of a new life, and I mustn't give in. When the dawn comes, tonight will be a memory too. And a new day will begin. Each new day begins with the Lord who watches over our going out and our coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.